thanks for leading us in worship with music, with word, with prayer. God is speaking to us in this place this day. I need to tell you, I got a personal message from Facebook this week, and I don't mind telling you, I felt pretty special. Really. How did they contact me? Well, they contacted me by putting, as soon as I opened up Facebook, and said, "What's on your mind?" And they personalized it. "What's on your mind, Gary?" So I know. It wasn't signed by Mark Zuckerberg or anything, but I know somebody at Facebook really cares about what's on my mind. And I was feeling pretty affirmed. Great way to start the day. I need to tell you, I don't spend a lot of time on Facebook. I kind of check whose birthday it is and kind of, you know, look at those back-to-school pictures. Those are kind of fun. And kind of follow like the Ranieris. Are the Ranieris at this worship service? Right there. Right? Would you guys stand? Would you stand? Pete and Angie, Lily and Nick, I want to affirm you today. Full-time missionaries to Europe, served in Honduras for many, many years, and now in Europe with Greater European Mission. And boy, it's been fun to follow you on Facebook. I use it for that purpose. That's going to be a little bit more about you guys later. You know, I usually give myself about 5 minutes in the morning of the day and go through as much as I can in 5 minutes, and that's it, because I know, like some, it's kind of a trap. You can get kind of caught in it, so I don't do that much. But I was really affirmed knowing that Facebook wanted to know what I was thinking. And then I realized that the box that they provided for me was really kind of small. Now, I know you can expand that box. I know that. But really, that's all? I mean, they care, but, you know, how much do they care? So I was kind of wondering about that. So what is on my mind? I got to thinking about that, and I thought, well, what's on my mind is maybe some of the stuff that's on some of your minds. Maybe some of the stuff that keeps you awake at night, or maybe the stuff that populates your prayer list, things that are on your mind. I wonder about that. And as I thought about what's on my mind, I was thinking about all these kids going back to school. It's fun to see their pictures. I was thinking about the teachers that are preparing our son Bobby as a teacher. I knew what he was doing in the weeks leading up to school. I was kind of thinking about that. My son is going to have a doctor's appointment this week, my one son, and I was thinking about that and thinking about all these kinds of things. And I was thinking about how summer went too fast this year. Boy, it seems to go faster and faster every year, doesn't it? So I was thinking about that. I was thinking about our congregation getting ready for some special services, like the one we had last night, the family worship service. It was really cool. We blessed backpacks, and there's going to be an opportunity in this service to do that if you weren't here last night. It was really fun. And I know that a lot of preparation went into that. I was kind of thinking about that. I was thinking about the great worship celebration that we're going to have at the end of October when we celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. That's a big deal. We're already planning for it. In fact, next week we start a new series entitled Here I Stand. We're going to take a look at some of the fundamental teachings from the Bible that Luther lifted up. Here I Stand, Christ alone, grace alone, faith alone, scripture alone. We're going to take a look. So I was thinking about that. But I was also thinking about all those scenes of racial violence and the blatant hatred that seems to populate our news feeds in our streets these days, ranging from Charleston to Charlottesville to Orlando to Manchester and Barcelona. I was thinking about that. I was thinking about all those folks that are impacted by Hurricane Harvey, and I'm so glad that Lutheran Disaster Relief is already there. In fact, because we, Good Shepherd, donate generously to Lutheran Disaster Relief, they're equipped even before the catastrophe happens. They've got teams that are mobilized immediately. Before the hurricane hit, they had teams already in place. And if you want to continue to contribute to that so that the next disaster can be funded, you can do that. It's great to know that we're part of a family that cares, and we're already doing that. My mind is also filled with thoughts about some dear friends who've been diagnosed recently with cancer. And on my mind were thoughts about anxious systems that seem to produce anxious people in our world, or dear ones that I know that struggle with vocational decisions or finding meaning and purpose in their lives. I was thinking about those kinds of things. Into all of that, St. Paul offers some words from God that are intended to ease our minds, to give us peace and comfort. He says this in Romans 8, and part of this passage is on the key chains, the tags that we're going to give to the kids and to the teachers. And you can pick one up. It's a good reminder. Not all this message is on the keychain, but this is what Paul writes. What then are we to say to all of these things that are on our minds? If God is for us, who is against us? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, who claims us. For I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Those words, when we believe them, give us peace of mind. You know, each time we gather for worship, we bring our troubled minds and our cluttered hearts and offer up our petitions of a broken world to a God who promises that nothing ever will be able to separate us from his love. As we worship, we, fragmented pieces of the body of Christ, receive a broken body so that we don't need to hide in our sacred sanctuary spaces. But rather, we can proclaim hope to a world crying for God's claims. Each time we gather for worship, we hear once again that God has claimed us, and we get to hear God's claims for us. In fact, because we are claimed by God, we hear in God's word that we are not only claimed, but we are called and we are commissioned. As the people of God, the body of Christ, we are claimed, called, and commissioned. April 29th, 1953, my baptismal day, is the day I was claimed by God. 1 month and 9 days after I was born. Now, for those of you who are good with big numbers, you've probably already added up my age at this point. And while my memories of that day, April 29th, 1953, the day God claimed me, the day that God began to call and commission me, while my memories of that day are a little bit fuzzy, I like to think I've got a good memory, but they are a little fuzzy, I confess. September 26th, 2015 is vividly crystal clear. The day Remington Jack Olson, my grandson, Remy, was baptized. He loves being the center of attention. He waved to all his adoring fans that day that he was claimed by God. And while Remy's memories of September 26, 2015 will probably be a bit fuzzy, he has loving parents and godparents who will help him remember that not only is he claimed by God, but that ultimately God has a call and a commissioning for him as well. At our last service, we baptized a little baby, Nora Johnson, 10 months old. We baptized her aunt, 21-year-old Hannah Stewart, who is a senior at Carthage College this year, never been baptized. She wanted to be baptized the same day her little niece was baptized. In between services, we baptized a fourth grader, Catherine Dillon, and her sister Megan Dillon, first grader, and we celebrated God claiming them. And they shared some of their stories with me. For example, little Nora's grandparents were here today, celebrating their 40th wedding anniversary, the same day that Daryl and Karen Schatz celebrated their 20th anniversary, or 40th wedding anniversary. Those two couples were married on the same exact day, this day, 1977. And as grandparents were celebrating their little granddaughter being baptized, what made that all the more remarkable for me, getting to know their backstory, was that 7 years ago, back in 2010, Grandma Gina suffered a brain hemorrhage. And yet she was able to make a 100% recovery from it, totally healed. So as she celebrated new life in Christ today through the birth, or rather the baptism of her granddaughter, we also celebrated her new life that she has in God's healing of her as well. It's a great day of celebration. Had Grandma Hazel been here, there would have been four generations. Nora's middle name is Hazel. There would have been four generations. Grandma Hazel couldn't make it today. But there were three generations celebrating that Nora was being claimed and called and commissioned by God today. In the Schatz family, Daryl and Karen, I should say, celebrating their 40th wedding anniversary, there were four generations here to celebrate with them today. And they gathered around the pool between services in order to remember their baptisms with the sign of the cross from baptismal water to remember that they were claimed by God. And it was a powerful, touching experience. In our baptismal liturgy, we say these words. In holy baptism, our gracious Heavenly Father liberates us from sin and death by joining us to the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Think about that for a moment. In baptism, we are joined together with Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. We are born children of a fallen humanity. We see that in our news feeds all the time, don't we? We see that on our streets. We're born children of a fallen humanity. But in the waters of baptism, we are reborn as children of God and we are made inheritors of eternal life. By water and the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the body of Christ, children of God, claimed by God, called and commissioned by God. One of Jesus' closest followers, Peter, said it this way in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a people belonging to God, so that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. That's what it means to be claimed and called and commissioned by God. We, his chosen people, people belonging to God, so that we can declare the praises of him who brings us out of darkness into his marvelous light. There's a story in the Bible. It's from the book of Acts. Acts, perhaps you know, is the fifth book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the four Gospels, then the book of Acts. And perhaps you know the book of Acts stands for the activities of the apostles, the activities of the first century Christians. And there's this great story in the Bible, Acts chapter 8, about Philip, one who was called by God, commissioned by Jesus to do the work of a disciple. This is how the story goes. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, the one that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. He's a big deal. He's very, very important, entrusted with a great amount of money. He had a very important position. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot. You remember the last time you were sitting in your chariot? If you do, reflect back. Reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. In other words, he's saying modern day Facebook language, what's on your mind? How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him and tell him what was on his mind. The Ethiopian was reading the passage of scripture that read this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The Ethiopian asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came near some water. And the Ethiopian said, look, here's some water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the Ethiopian went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the Ethiopian did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing, called and commissioned. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Philip knew that he was claimed by God. Philip knew that he'd been called by God, been commissioned to do this work, and continued to preach the gospel. And as a result, lives were transformed like the Ethiopian's life because of the message of Jesus Christ, the message of the one who claims us, calls us, and commissions us. So what's on your mind? We live a long ways from Ethiopia. What's our role model? What do we do? We're not living in France like you are, Pete, Angie, and Lily, you and Nick are here in the States now going to college. How do we live this out? How do we play out being claimed and called and commissioned? What does that look like in our lives? I don't know exactly what God has in store for each one of you, but I do know that God has something in store for each one of you. One of the ways in which some of our Good Shepherd members are living that out is through RTA, Rebuilding Together Aurora. And there's some incredible stories. It's an organization, a nonprofit that many Good Shepherd members participate in. They work with low-income families. Many of the families are military veterans. Many of them are disabled. Many of them are elderly. All of them are low-income. Most of them below the poverty level significantly. They were made aware of a house this year that should have been condemned. It really should have been condemned. There's no way a person should be living there, but there's a widow of a military veteran living there, and she didn't have any money to go anyplace else. She didn't have any other option, so she was trying to make the best of it, and RTA, Rebuilding Together Aurora, found out about her plight, and they applied for and got a Sears Heroes at Home grant, $25,000. And working with some other organizations, Thrivent works a lot with them. They were able to get money, and they were able to get volunteers, many, many volunteers, to go and work on this home. And as the woman looked around at this home that now is totally refurbished, she looked around and told one of our members this week, you know, I believe that God shows his love through those who love God. And if that's the case, as she looked around at all those who were helping with her home, she said with tears coming down her cheeks, God must love me an awful lot. The member from Good Shepherd and that woman, Linda, celebrated God's love for her, celebrated God's claim upon her life, and then talked about how God was calling, commissioning her to help someone else. Another organization that Good Shepherd has been very much involved in is Feed My Starving Children. Ryan, you and Edward Jones have been great leaders with that. Zach, you and Thrivent have been great leaders. How many have been involved in Feed My Starving Children? Yeah, many, most of you have. You know, what makes that all the more remarkable is knowing some of the backstory. You've had the experience of packing meals, so you know. We talk in terms of hundreds of meals, thousands of meals, millions of meals. Do you know that this year, Feed My Starving Children packed their 1.6 billionth meal? Billionth meal. 1.6 billion meals. And this year, Feed My Starving Children engaged 1.2 million volunteers, making it the largest single volunteer organization in all of America doing God's work. They have been bold about saying they could not do this without the grace of God. They've been bold about being on their knees praying for God to help them reach goals that were humanly unachievable. They've been bold about taking these meals to places that probably they shouldn't be going, but the people need the food so badly. They've taken meals to refugee camps, to places that are some of the most dangerous places on earth, served by some of the most brave missionaries on earth. Mark Crea, the president of Feed My Starving Children, I was at a meeting with him. I have the privilege of serving on the Illinois Council for Feed My Starving Children. It's a privilege. It's always humbling. It's always inspiring. Mark was telling a story about sitting with Richard Stearns, who was the head of World Vision for quite a long time, really did great, great work with World Vision. And they were talking about delivery rates. Delivery rate is the ability to get the food we've packed into the hands of the people that it's intended for. And the delivery rate of Feed My Starving Children is 99.8%. That's better than the delivery rate of trying to get a letter from Naperville to Aurora. It's phenomenal. Trying to get food to some of the most dangerous places in the world. They were at a meeting, Mark Crea and Richard Stearns were at a meeting together, and Richard Stearns said, hey Mark, what's your delivery rate? And Mark said, it's 99.8%. And Richard Stearns looked at him and said, you liar. It's almost unheard of. Mark is quick to say, we couldn't do it except by the grace of God. The grace of God. He went on to tell a story so we could appreciate the grace of God, what it looks like. He said, you know, we're serving in dangerous places like Burma. It used to be known as Burma. Now we refer to it as Indonesia. We're serving this area. He said, I was over there not long ago, and we were trying to take meals to refugees in a place. Some of these refugees were on the run, and the Burmese army was trying to track them down. And so we'd made arrangements to get the food to a schoolyard. And then just before, some of our advanced scouts said, no, don't come. The Burmese army has been there, and they've planted landmines. They've created a landmine field right by the schoolyard. Don't come. So they said, well, we want to get this food to you. So they picked out another designated spot. And so they were on their way, and they said, the advanced scouts said, no, don't come. The Burmese army is in that area now. So they found an underground cave, and they arranged for that to be their rendezvous spot. And they got the food. The people were waiting there. They got the food distributed. And one of the leaders there said, tell Mark your story. Tell Mark your story. Story of a man who'd found Christ, or Christ had found him through Feed My Starving Children. And he said, hey, I didn't know anything about God, but Feed My Starving Children was delivered to my people, and then the missionaries told me about Jesus Christ and how they can't do any of this without the power of God in their lives. And I started thinking about that, and shortly thereafter, I was trying to get some supplies for my family, and I was out in the wilderness, and the Burmese army caught me, and they were either going to inscript me into their army, or they were going to torture me or keep me captive. I don't know what they had in mind, but they were taking me, and as they were taking me through the jungle, there was this incredible explosion. I hit the ground, and after the explosion was done and all was quiet, I looked up, and I saw that all the Burmese army soldiers in front of me had been killed by landmines. And then I looked in back, and I realized that all the Burmese army soldiers in back of me had been killed by landmines. I was the only one left in the middle of a landmine field. At that moment, I gave my life to Christ. I knew that God had spared me for a purpose. God had claimed my life. God was calling me. God was commissioning me to do work, and now he's working with Feed My Starving Children to get the meals to the children so they can eat and so they can hear about Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, the one who claims them. So what does it look like in your life to be claimed and called and commissioned by God? Matthew, one of Jesus' disciples, reminds us in the words of Jesus that he spoke right before he left this earth and was ascended into heaven. He says this about the last words Jesus said on earth. These are the words of the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age. The one who claims us and calls us and commissions us to proclaim his praises, the one who brings us out of darkness into his marvelous light, is present with us always to the very end of the age. Pete and Angie know that. So do Nick and Lily. They've been called to serve in one of the darkest spiritual places on earth. They served for years in Honduras, did Pete, Angie, and Nick and Lily. When you first went there, you were tiny. You were little guys. Now you're grown up in college. When you served in Honduras, it was tough work. It was tough work. But God sustained you. God equipped you. God enabled you to do the work that you were called and commissioned to do. You went to France and Germany first and learned German. And now you're learning French, and you've already learned Spanish, and more power to you. It's tough work. And there were some who thought, wow, tough call going from Honduras to France. Nice. Maybe I should be a missionary. You discovered how hard it was going to a spiritually dark places. And you are first among those to say you couldn't do it except by the grace of God. And we know that God's grace goes with you in the calling. And we thank you for being available. We know your time is short here in the United States this time because God's calling you back, but you're trying to help Nick and Lily get settled into their next year of college. And we're glad to see you and hear some more of your stories. Bob and Barb Stark, who were members of Good Shepherd for quite a long period of time, very, very involved in Good Shepherd life. They know that they're claimed by God, and they heard a calling in their life, a commissioning. Bob, at his advanced age, has been going to seminary. And next week, he begins his first call to serve as a parish pastor. And he wrote this to us. I began my first call on September 3rd at First Evangelical Lutheran Church in Mount Carroll, Illinois. Your support, guidance, and equipping over our years at Good Shepherd has provided Barb and I with a firm biblical foundation and a love of Christ. God is doing mighty things at Good Shepherd and equipping disciples through programs like Christ Renews His Parish. Commercial break. Women, there's a Christ Renews His Parish at the end of September. There's a sign up in the narthex. You're welcome in the lobby. You're welcome to sign up for the September Christ Renews His Parish. It's transformational. It really is. It impacted Bob and Barb in huge ways. Also through Stephen Ministry. Commercial break. We've got another class starting in September. It's been transformational in many lives. Also through opportunities like Life Keys and Experiencing God and many, many others. Creating the worship service 11:11. Barb was on the first team that created the founding worship service for this service back when 11:11 met in the activity center. Barb was on that planning team. She was called to be part of that team and commissioned to be part of that team. That experience was transformational in their lives and ignited a passion for sharing the gospel of Christ that continues to burn deep in our souls. It is with grateful hearts that we thank God for our time at Good Shepherd. From the first moment we stepped through the door, we knew that we were home with loving brothers and sisters in Christ. There's a true sense of adoption, a sharing of life's joys and sorrows in a family that lives Christ's love openly and in meaningful ways. We have learned so much from all of you, and we have grown in our faith simply by watching you live your faith 24/7. What wonderful gifts you have given us, yourselves, your love, your support, your prayers. They will be cherished, and we will carry them with us wherever Christ leads us. Claimed, called, and commissioned. So what does that look like in your life? What's on your mind? God, who claims us, who calls us, and who commissions us, each in our own way, is the one who desires our praises. He's the one who has brought us and continues to bring us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's what's on my mind. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we thank you so much that you have brought us and continue to bring us out of darkness into your marvelous light. By your grace, by your love, by your forgiveness, you claim us, you call us, you commission each of us, not only to be part of your family, but to be your servant leaders, proclaiming the praises of him who calls each of us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Amen.